Lord, we do worship you as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, and we pray that you will be exalted and glorified in our worship of you this day. For you alone are worthy, you alone are the Lord. Amen. What I want to do before we get into the sermon itself is I'd like to ask for either Miranda or Jan or Father Chris or Deacon Mack to share a little bit about what happened at our Clericus this week. We had not one, not two, five bishops, two of them archbishops this week, and we heard from all of them except for Bishop Gene Lilly. But so, guys, anybody have anything you'd like to share from what all of those various bishops had to share? Or bishops' wives, even. The ladies got to hear from the bishops' wives as well. So. Go ahead.
I was particularly impressed with all the bishops there. And so I took a few pictures of our service that we had Friday night. But I forgot to bring them today, so I apologize. So I had to go back and make sure that our stove was off. But anyway, it was an impressive thing. I mean, and just to see those faithful men of God up there was just so encouraging to me. And, you know, because this was a convocation not just of us in Alabama, this was also Florida and Georgia and Tennessee, so there were a lot of people there. Church was packed, and so fabulous talks. We got to hear from some incredible speakers, not only our patriarch, but Bishop Chuck, of course, and also Bishop Simpson, also Bishop Epps. Anybody I missed?
I think that was it.
Mm-hmm. Some incredible talks just to encourage you and be encouraged. You know, here we are in our little congregation. Sometimes we think that we're doing it all by ourselves. We're not. And, we're part of a great movement of God, the three streams. So be encouraged. That's what I got out of it.
Well, I enjoyed all of the bishop's talks also. And I was sitting on the second row at the aisle, and I felt, for some reason, the presence of the Archbishop of New York, our patriarch. As he talked, he walked.
His podium just—he kept going like this, and it kept moving. So he, by the time he was through, he was at the second row.
I think it was one of his talks that I thought he was preaching to me. But the other thing that I loved about the gathering was the humor that we had. I mean, they are all funny, and it makes it a whole lot easier to listen to people who smile and laugh occasionally during their sermon.
And laugh at themselves.
And laugh at themselves.
Yes. Yes, they're self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got out of it. Plus, we got a lot of rain on the way home.
It was a rainy day.
Ladies, do you, either of you want to share anything?
I'll share a couple things. The theme of the convocation was a healthy church, and I felt very affirmed, confirmed that this is a very healthy church. I mean, Bishop David Simpson, he referred to the bishops we have David Minimus and David Maximus, which is both Epps and Simpson are David, and David Simpson is about this big around, and David Epps is a big guy. So David Minimus and David Maximus. But David Simpson was talking about, you know, the measures of the healthy church and the importance of relationships and that. And
relationship?
Yeah, you've heard about it. But relationships
never preach about that,
between people in the church. And one point, I think it was Bishop Bates asked, you know, if somebody were going to describe your church, what's your church known for, what would you say? And at least three of the five of us immediately said, the people love each other, you know, for our church. That's what we would say. And that's, I think that's such a good sign. And Bishop David Simpson was also talking about the importance of quality as opposed to quantity, and that it sounds like virtually every church in the CEC right now is declining in numbers, although Bishop Epps was saying, it seems to be stabilizing now, but what is the quality of the interaction? So I thought that was really good. Bishop Epps' whole talk was on, I don't know what I'm doing, which I liked. He was talking about, you know, and it was very vulnerable and very humble, talking about, you know, what we've done before is not going to work again. What somebody over there is doing is not going to work for us. And he shared a scripture, and Israel got in trouble because they were like, well, last time we took the ark and we did this worked, and they got slaughtered. You know, trying to do what you've done before is not going to make it. You have to be in this, you know, relationship with God where you're listening all the time and realize that you don't know what you're doing. So I thought that was very good. I couldn't help but remembering when you were reading the gospel, Bishop Bates talking about, you know, we measure ourselves by success, and, you know, for a good percentage of our life, you know, do we have a nice house? Do we have cars? Do we have this? Do we have that thing? And all Jesus had was a rental donkey. You know, so I had to think about that when you read. He only had a rental donkey. The women's time was really wonderful, too. They fed us the most amazing meal. And we shared a lot with the bishop's wives. The bishop's wives are great people. You know Olivia, and you've met Kathy Bates when she was here. And Cindy Epps was also there. Unfortunately, Tony Simpson didn't make it. But it was, overall, I would say it was just a really encouraging time that, you know, we're doing good, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And don't be discouraged by, you know, maybe your numbers are down a little bit, this, that, and the other thing. Don't let that be the measure of who you are as a church. And it was a really good conference. Bill and I were talking about how we didn't go feeling real enthusiastic, but we left feeling enthusiastic. So,
any reason for the declining numbers mentioned?
Part of it is the culture doesn't want what we have to offer. And they were encouraging us and saying, this is the gospel. Stand on it. This is Jesus. Proclaim him, because the world doesn't want to hear that. And also within the church itself, the larger church, the Big C church, if you are being challenged here and you don't really want to be challenged, it's really easy to go across the street to that church over there and be perfectly happy and not have anybody challenge you about anything.
Yeah, I mean, Bishop Simpson, I brought my notebook in the first day, and the way Bishop Bates preaches, you can't take notes as far as I'm concerned. So I didn't write anything down. So I didn't bother to bring it the next day, which I should have, because Bishop Simpson was so organized and had these lovely notes that you, and this is point one, that, where you could have, of the measures, the healthy church, the relationship, and fostering forgiveness, and love covering a multitude of sins. But his last one was discipline. There has to be discipline, and people
don't want discipline.
Because, as he put it, because sheep bite. Sheep bite other sheep. Sheep bite their shepherds. You know, you've got to have discipline. So, you know. Anyway.
Sometimes the shepherds bite back.
Is that CEC or all denominations? I mean, obviously.
You mean are in decline?
Church numbers are down.
Oh, well, my gosh. Church numbers generally are down, but especially in the mainline churches.
The feel-goody churches are doing fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have a feel-good church, you see, because during the prayer time, I went up and I was praying over people, but I asked Father Tuck to pray for my hand because I get some arthritis in this thumb, and I haven't had pain since then.
Hallelujah!
We were a feel-good church. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to keep remembering, is that we are fully 100% charismatic.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yeah, share something that I've been thinking about with the CEC is that we were a pioneering move for a while, and now we're sort of getting into that, like, well, you had that book about pioneers and settlers, that we're sort of trying to settle into what we are as a denomination still. I mean, it's only been, what, since the early
27 years.
So that's not a long time. So I think part of it is growing pains, and I feel like if we can get through this sort of hump of whatever it is, I think you'll start seeing the growth again, but I think it's a growing pain situation.
I think I will be addressing some of that in my sermon today.
Okay,
that's fine. Yeah. No, it's not a problem. But you know, sometimes God has to prune the bush before it will grow healthy.
Yeah.
And so there's been some pruning, and a healthy bush is being grown. And we'll move forward. Did you want to share anything, Jen?
They told us Thursday night that there was a little breakfast for the women. The men didn't get anything. The women. So I've been to a lot of these. We went over, and when we opened up the doors, it was just beautiful. I myself was just so blessed. It was just beautiful. And just all the little different woman food. And, you know, sitting around and chatting with everybody. It was a real nice time, along with the other stuff.
And all that food, there was still a whole bunch left over, so Deacon Mac and I were able to. We grazed. We did. We ate woman food, quiche, and things like that.
The men were doing their thing in the morning Friday, and we were doing our thing. And we spent like an hour eating and talking, and an hour with the bishops wives while they were doing whatever serious stuff they were doing. And so we're not done. We're still talking and having a panel discussion with them. And we can see all these guys in black. And what, actually, one of the things is the vultures are so.
I'll look through the doors.
Oh my God, Andy, finally,
you guys done yet?
Finally, Bishop Chuck comes in and says, I know nobody else is brave enough to break you up. He walks in and somebody goes, man on board! but the guys are starving here. But they said, you know, they came out and said, you know, there's so much food if anybody wants to come eat some. So they came and ate lunch there.
We did. We ate lunch. It was nice.
Because I was like, none of the women would want to go to lunch. We were all full.
Bishop Epps did try to break it up.
But he just did it by looking in the door.
Yeah, and he got a look back, I
Yeah, Bishop Chuck says that Olivia fusses at him all the time anyway, so it's okay. Yeah, actually, the first question one of the clergy wives asked the panel was, you know, what is the biggest challenge you find being a bishop's wife? And Olivia pipes up, my husband.
There you go.
All
right.
Challenging
Mary, your spouse.
Well, if everybody will look at Colossians chapter 1, and the NIV does a terrible, 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 terrible job of translating this, so if you have it in another version, you might want to look at it that
way. And that's why I had to change the versification that was up there, because according to the NIV, that was the middle of the sentence.
I'm going to share. I had a sermon. I had been working on it for a couple of weeks. Miranda and I talked about it on the way down to Georgia. I wrote it all up in my computer. I had it all there. Saturday, I figured, okay, you know, I've got to drive, so I'll just relax. And then I'll look at it Saturday night, and then I'll be able to just tighten it up a little bit and print it, and I'll be ready for Sunday morning. Saturday night, I get ready to tighten it up. I open up the computer. I look at it, and God says, that's not the sermon. And I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? I had a nice sermon all on Psalm 46. It was a really good sermon. And so after I was about halfway through with this revised sermon here, and I said, okay, Lord, what was the other one about? I mean, did I not hear you? Was that, did I just completely miss the boat? And he said, no, that one was for you. Thank you. So this one's for you. I've already heard my sermon. Okay? But anyway, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, I'm going to read to you through from the Revised Standard Version, because it's the best translation I could find. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. All right, we're on Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday is the beginning of a new liturgical year. It's one Advent, believe it or not, next Sunday, which means we're only less than 5 weeks away from Christmas. Oh, God. Anyway, but it is Christ the King Sunday. And Miranda and I were talking on the way down, and I was asking her, what is your read on, you know, modern Americans, even just modern people in general, don't understand what a king is. Can, you know, so we talked about what it means to have a king. It's not like having a president. You don't get to unelect him, or you can't impeach him, or whatever we want to do to our leader. A king is a king. He has complete authority. But we were also talking about, okay, what does it mean in terms of our relationship with Jesus? If he's a king, what does that mean? And really, what ultimately it amounts to is we have to live in the moment. If we have Jesus as our king, we have to live moment by moment, because he is the one who has complete authority over our lives, and he directs us in all that we do. And so it's being present to him moment by moment. And yes, it is about a relationship with him. Having a relationship where you are listening to him and doing what he tells you to do. You know, I've said many, many times before, time and eternity intersect right now. It's not the past. The past is done. You can't change it. The future hasn't happened yet. It's being present in the moment, you know, being entirely yielded to God at this very time. And that's hard. That's difficult for all of us to do. We have to give attention to him moment by moment, day by day. Last year, about this time, I was praying about this parish and what the Lord had been doing in our lives. And I asked the Lord, you know, what is 2019 going to be about? Tell me, you know, is there something I need to be focused on in terms of preparing the congregation for 2019? And the Lord said, behold, I am doing something new. Okay. And I was really praying about that. Okay. What does that mean? And then at David's ordination, there you are, David's ordination, I was, you know, we were all prophesying over David as he was being ordained, and I heard a word, and the Lord said, behold, I'm doing something new. And I said, I know, I've heard that. Okay. But what about David? And he said, David is the first of 12 installments. I'm like, okay, that's weird. That's not something I'm going to speak right now, but yeah, okay, that's weird. So David was the first installment, as it was, of the things that God is doing new in our parish. And so throughout the year, I have been looking and saying, okay, what's installment number two, installment number three? And, you know, where are these installments? What are they? What are you saying, Lord? And there were a lot of things that I kept seeing and pointing to. And as Miranda and I were talking about that, because I was again saying to her, you know, God said he was going to do something new. And I've been looking at all these installments, as it were, but it seems like everything that we have been doing this year is stuff that we have done before and doesn't seem new. And I mentioned a few of those, and Miranda said, yeah, but the people who were involved in those things, they'd never done those things before. And so it's not the parish per se, but each of us is the parish. You, Rachel, this parish wouldn't be a parish without Rachel Litterauer. You know, and Christopher, you're important. It's parish. We're all part and parcel. Each one of us is an essential ingredient in the mix of what makes us into this particular family, this particular parish. So let me give you some of the examples about these installments, as it were. Obviously, David's ordination. We've had an ordination in this parish before. This was not something new. We've had a priestly ordination here before. But I don't think David's ever been ordained in apostolic succession before, unless I'm mistaken. So it was completely new for him. And, you know, that's cool. All right. We've had quiet days here before this year. But we had two quiet days. And there were a lot of people who participated in those quiet days, especially the quiet day we had on Sunday, who had never experienced a whole hour of being quiet with a bunch of other people. How do you know? Ooh. And experiencing God speaking in the silence. And just listening to the responses of the people who participated in those and what God was doing in their lives. And, you know, it was something brand new. And that's awesome. That's great. Our patriarch, who we just saw this week, he was here, and I kept praying. And I felt that God said very definitely, the patriarch's visit is going to be one of the installments. And I'm like, okay, well, we've had lots of archbishops and bishops and other people here. You know, what is unique about this? Well, this particular visit, there were a lot of people in this congregation who had never been around the head of the church and heard the vision that he gave us about the CEC. And so that was something new. You know, the band has been to the soup kitchen for years. We've been going there for a number of years. But this year, we rejiggered that and got it started again. And, okay, so we've done that, Lord. Why is that new? Well, as far as I know, Kaylee, you'd never been to the soup kitchen before with the band. Is that right? Yeah. And Ethan's never been to the soup kitchen before with the band. I know that you and I played at a Christmas time once, Sean, but I don't think you've ever been with the band before yesterday, had you? No. So, you know, it's a new thing. God is doing something new. Behold, I'm doing something new, and that's awesome. Not for the parish, but for the parishioners who make it a parish. Hallelujah. Fellowship of St. Benedict, Elizabeth, and Jackie, and Tripp, you know, they're doing things new that you never thought you would ever do. Is that not right, Jackie? It's awesome. It's great. It's fabulous. We did a deliverance this year. And, oh my gosh, you know, we've done deliverance ministry for, what, 20 years in this parish. So why is that new, Lord? Because there were people involved in that deliverance ministry who had never done hands-on deliverance before. And they saw the power and the glory of God being made manifest in that ministry. Hallelujah. A cleric is when the bishop came and we all went out into the streets. I know, like, Joe does that all the time. I mean, he lives in the street. But there were a lot of you, that was a first. You know, that was pretty neat. Going out and just cold calling on people and ministering to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And listening and hearing what God was saying before you ever walked out the door. And then being alert to Him and walking moment by moment with Him. Being alert to what God was saying. That was new. And that was awesome. And God was doing something mighty in your midst. The newcomers and women's Bible study. And we've had Bible studies before, but here are a bunch of women coming together and looking at women in the Bible in a way that they hadn't looked at it before. That's awesome. Kairos. I don't know how many of you this past Kairos, that was the first time you'd ever been inside a prison. Was that the first time you'd ever been inside a prison for yourselves? You know, that was pretty cool. You know, that's a new experience. And God moved in that place. I don't think anybody will doubt that God had moved in that place. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. So, anyway, behold, I am doing something new, the Lord is saying to us. It looks the same. Sometimes it feels the same. But God is moving in His power and making Himself manifest, not just in us as a whole, but in each one of us. And He's bringing us all into right order in His parish, in His family.
We've been singing Michael Card songs for years, and I just got to go see him.
There you go. Awesome. Yes.
And he's not singing any more songs.
He was supposed to rebuke you for that, but I'll get you guys to share a little bit about that later, okay? I do. I want to hear some more about that.
I think Michael Card is nicer than you, Dave.
Apparently he is.
He's Mike. He's not Michael. He's Mike.
He's Mike.
He's Mike. Yeah. Anyway, well, Jesus is saying, listen to me. Jesus is saying to this parish right now, I have made you worthy. I have empowered you. You belong to me in my kingdom. Now, what I need for you to do, brothers and sisters, is I need for you to ask God, Lord, is there something new that I need to be about? Do I need something that I'm not currently doing? Do I need something that I do not currently have? Give me what you want. Call me to do what you want me to do. You are my king. I will be obedient to whatever you tell me to do. Now, that's frightening in and of itself. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, and see what Paul tells us about how that, what that looks like and how we can employ that, all right? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, this is just such a terrible translation. Anyway,
it's really not that different from what you read. Yeah, but following along.
Okay. I was sharing with Father David and Deacon Mac before the service that last night after the Lord told me, no, that's not the sermon you're supposed to preach. You're not supposed to preach on Psalm 46. It's supposed to be Colossians 1. I got my Greek out and I started doing my exegesis of the passage and so forth. And it was just, an eye-opener to find out that I didn't realize in Greek there are 9 different words for power. And I was just like, whoa, I did not realize that. 9 different words for power. Paul uses 4 of them in these 3 verses. Okay? Power. And by the way, Hugh, I know you're not here, but if you're going to do this sermon, put it online, and you need a title, just call it Empowered. Okay? Empowered. There we go. All right. Let me give you another way to look at this. Verse 11. May you be empowered with all power according to his glorious power for all endurance and patience with joy. Okay? There's 3 powers in 1 verse there, all right? May you be empowered. This is a prayer for you. Paul is praying for you, that you would be empowered with all, what is it about all you don't understand? All power. Well, how does this come about? According to his glorious power. He's the one who bestows the power on us, all right? And the word strengthened or empowered there at the beginning is a participle. And so it means not that it has happened or it's going to be a one-time thing, okay? It's not, may you be empowered once, okay? No, it's constant. It's as long as you are in the face of God, as long as you are in relationship with him, he will continue to empower you. Now, you may think that you've come to a place where you've done everything you can do. No, he's still going to continue to empower you, to give you the gifts you need to do the ministry that he's called you to do. He will continue to empower you as long as you remain in relationship with him. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. And that's pretty awesome when you think about that. All right. We have this ability to do the very things that Jesus commands us to do because we're doing it according to his glorious might, his glorious power, his authority, because he's the king. And now that power strengthens us. And when we walk in that power, when we do the things he has called us to do in the power and the glory of God, that brings glory to God. Because others will see and recognize, you know, Jack doesn't have the ability to do that. He can't raise the dead, but, oh my God, he just raised the dead. Does that give glory to Jack? No, that gives glory to God. When we are doing the work of God, God gets the glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's our witness. To do this new thing he has empowered us to do glorifies God. All right, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I love that. The Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. We hear all the time that you are an heir of the kingdom, right? Yeah. But an heir is not an inheritor. And an heir is somebody who is eligible for the inheritance, but until you fulfill the necessary steps that are required in the will, as it were, unless you do those things, you do not become an inheritor. You have to do those things. And what this passage right here is saying is, the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance. It's his gifting of us that makes us eligible to be not just heirs, but inheritors of the kingdom of God. He gives us everything we need, as long as we are in relationship with him. We are qualified by his glory, by his gift, by his love. The Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. We have been made worthy of the office to which he's called us. He's called us to be those witnesses in the world. He's called us to be the saints of light. He has called us to be the evangelists of the kingdom. And He equips us, and He qualifies us, and He gives us the power necessary to do the things that He has called us to do. He makes us worthy. And another point here, too, is it says giving thanks to the Father who is qualified. That giving thanks, you all know what that word is, right? Giving thanks.
Eucharist.
Say again?
Eucharist.
Eucharist. Eucharisteo, that's right. We give Eucharist, we give thanks to God when we do the work that God has called us to do. That's giving thanks. Being empowered and fulfilling the calling gives thanks to God. Isn't that awesome? Just doing what He's asked you to do is a way of giving thanksgiving. Another way to look at that is, think about this. When you give a gift to somebody, a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or something, doesn't it warm your heart to see them using it? You know, you give them a nice sweater and they're wearing it then on Christmas Eve or whatever, you know. And you kind of go, wow, you know, hey. And it makes you thankful. You realize that it makes you feel good. Well, that's the same way God looks at us. He really loves it when His people use the gifts that He has given to them. And that is a way of giving thanks to God. All right, that was a side note. That's not about power. But anyway, verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion. There's another power word. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. The exousia, the power of darkness. We are in a dark place. I mean, there's no way you can avoid thinking in terms of this world. I mean, you've got all those shootings. You've got moral decay all around us. You've got political instability throughout the world. It's a dark place. We are walking in a dark time. But God has delivered us from the power of that darkness. That darkness in the world has no power over those who are walking in the light. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us. That word transferred, interesting. The Greek word literally means to uproot and to replant. You got to take it, not just clip it off and... No, it comes root and all and is moved and put somewhere else. Another way of looking at it is it's like a deportation. God takes you out. You were a part of this kingdom and He just... It's almost a violent sort of thing. He just grabs you and pulls you out of that situation and puts you over here. And that's that word transferred us. He has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He has transferred us out of the power of darkness into the power of His Son. That's pretty cool. You were under the power of evil, and now you are under the power of love and grace and truth and goodness. I like that. That's a good deal. Amen? So, we may still be walking in this dark world, but this world has no power over those who are children of the King. We have been transferred into the kingdom of His Son. Now, also, one last thought. And that is, the RSV says He has been transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. What does it say in the NIV?
Kingdom of the Son He loves.
The Son He loves is actually closer. It's interesting. Okay. It's actually the way the Greek is written is you've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Son of His love. Is that what it says in KJV? Oh, okay, cool. All right.
New King James also.
New King James, cool. Yeah, and that's different from just being the beloved Son. It means that there was an activity. God the Father in this Son, He is the Son of the Father's love. And so if you have the Son, you not only have the Son and His love, but you have the Father's love too. Because He's the Son of the Father's love. Isn't that awesome? That's really cool. And that's the only place in all of Holy Scripture where it's worded that way. You know, on the Mount of Transfigure, my beloved son, or the baptism, my beloved son. This is the son of his love. And that's wonderful. Anyway, okay, so we did hear this week about a healthy parish. I just rehearsed for you in many, many, many ways God is working in this congregation and individuals in this congregation. You know, we are empowered. We are children of the King. He has strengthened us with his power to do the work he has called us to do. And he has qualified us. He has made us worthy to be saints. And he has transferred us from the power of darkness into the power of light. Friends, there's just not much better news than that.
I have to contradict you. You were saying that the giving didn't have anything to do with the power, but it does. It's greater to give than receive. There's no better gift than giving.
I said giving thanks, yeah, but okay.
That is empowering.
It is empowering. You're right.
If you give it to someone else, what you get back from that is the most empowering thing that there is in the world.
Amen.
Lord, I was getting last night. It's funny also, real quick, I know like you're kind of going over things you've done, and one thing that fits right in with that to me are the two ministries we have going on in Africa now, with you with Father Ghani and Father Chris with his friends over there, and that is... You've given them something and empowered them that's empowering a whole other part of the world.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, as we go into this next year, as we begin the new liturgical year next Sunday, my friends, as I said, you need to be conscious of being in his presence moment by moment, but also just asking him, you know, what gift do I need? What is the new thing you want to do in me, Lord? And empower me to do that. For the Lord is going to do a mighty work in this parish, yes, because we are a healthy parish, but also in each one of us individually.
In the end of this year, as we've come to it, all the things about the 12 installments and all the things that he's been doing, he's also simultaneously begun a good measuring of what's been done. He's measuring every single thing. It's just like the different measurements in the Bible that at different times with a reed and measuring all the different things. It's an important kind of measuring that he's doing right now because he's going to show the world and us what's been done because of the things that he's done this year.
Okay.
If some of us, he's still burning, and it doesn't feel very good, but we know there's reasons for it.
Yeah. Amen.
I
don't know where I lost this.
When you talk about the son that he loves, something else that Bishop Bates said came back to me really strongly that I didn't share, and I don't think anybody else shared. He said, part of the problem with Christianity, with Christians, and I think he was saying particularly with priests right now, is we love Jesus, but we don't like his old lady very much.
Which refers to the church.
The church. The church is his bride. The church is his old lady. And you cannot love him and not love his old lady. He says, if you don't love my wife, I don't have a lot of use for you. He's saying as a person. And it's the same way. You can't draw yourself from the church and not love the church and the people who are the church and say you love Jesus.
I love you guys. I love you guys, and I really thank you for your faithfulness, and I thank you for allowing me to be the priest in this place. Amen.
Amen. Amen.